This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It is indeed the final hour here of
Hour number five.
Nation. Hour number five. Put the high fives up.
That's what I was doing.
Put the high five. I was kind of wondering what was going on there.
I used to do that.
I'm thinking, what's going on, Broadus? What do you need something?
No. I used to do that.
Are we having a moment?
The general, I always put up what hour it is. I'll go like that.
Number five. We'll
put up four and we'll put up
the reminders.
There it is. Yeah. Number five here of the Nosebleeds Nation.
My weekend coming up.
Yeah, Broadus is 56 minutes away from the weekend.
Me and Lucius are about to escape.
You guys can smell it. You can taste it. The three-day weekend for J4. Hopefully everybody's pumped and excited.
No, you guys can do good. Be listening tomorrow for sure.
Oh, yeah. We'll be here as we take over the G-Bang Nation 2 to 7 the rest of the week. So Eric and I will be here, but we really enjoyed having you, Brian.
No, thank you guys for doing such a great job.
You're awesome. Lucius is the man. This is pretty exciting for me because being a G-Bag intern, you know, I've gotten to fill in on G-Bag before for holidays, but I've never actually gotten to work with Lucius. And when you're a G-Bag Nation intern.
Such a pro.
When Mike was previously on the show, you're pretty much just Mike's intern. He's the only one that would ask you to do anything.
What, he asked you to get like coffee and stuff?
I'd have to go to McDonald's sometimes. I'd have to get him some nuggets.
Remember that segment, Mike Likes It? Where it was pretty much what, you know, it's Wolchuk Likes It.
It was Wolchuk Likes It. I would fill the entire segment for him.
Wow.
I'd just send him an email with stories. He'd pick some stories and boom, he'd be like, thanks, Zach.
That's good. GOAT-level status.
Yeah. Otherwise, right, I was just chilling with Lucius, you know, and so I got to have a pretty good rapport with Lucius, and he's my dude. I got to say I love him. And
picked up a couple of bad habits. After
my guy, several bad habits, what can I say? But he took me under his wing and helped me get to where I am today. I appreciate Lucius very much for that. We're about to get into some of the rookies that have a good fit and a bad fit with their team. Because, Brian, I mean, I think that this is a year, it's going to be more of a struggle for rookies.
Yeah.
Maybe more so than ever before to adapt and kind of get caught up to speed. It's really going to be learning on the fly, trial by fire, once they get into this game action.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of teams that have an idea what they want to do with their guys. There's going to be some teams that are starting rookie quarterbacks. Look what's going on in Cincinnati, you know. So much unknown there, but they've got to make that journey. They've moved on from Andy Dalton after the 9 years, and you know they've have a new head coach, even though second year, but relatively new. But yeah, there's teams that they're going to rely on a lot of these guys. And in this day and age, you know, you draft these kids, you plug them in, you play them, and you go to battle, and you hope for the best. But with this pandemic, you know, we haven't had mini camps. We've had virtual schools. We kind of have an idea of how much football intelligence they might have, and you're just hopeful that they can carry some of those things that you saw in college football onto the field in the NFL situations.
Yeah, man, this is a pretty good article out of the Pro Football Network here, and to me,
PFN,
yeah, the fit always matters, especially with quarterbacks. Like, how many quarterbacks, like, could you just play the what if game on? If Derek Carr doesn't go to the worst offensive line in the history of the sport in Houston.
David,
no, you're Carr. Fine. If your guy, Joey Harrington, doesn't go to Detroit, does he have more of a chance? You know,
no, he doesn't.
I mean, think about Josh Rosen. His career's ruined.
Well, you know, that's – and you make a great point there, Chi-Chi, because a lot of it does have to do with, you know, who you show up and – but what's the setting? What's the future? I think about a guy like Peyton Manning. You know, he ends up in Indianapolis with a really good setting. And then Ryan Leaf goes to the Chargers, not mature enough, not a really good setting, not really as stable as it needs to be. Yeah, you know, Bobby Bethard, the GM out there and stuff, kind of at the, you know, the last legs of doing that job. But a lot of it has to do if you're going to the right place where they have a plan for you. You know, and then they know how to use you. They know how to get the best out of you. I know it's very cliché to say, but do find some growth in you. You know, that I always felt like that if we drafted a player and we didn't play to his strengths, then why do we draft this guy?
Right.
You know, why do we continually beat our heads? You know, if we're going to bring players in here, and this is some of the discussions I had with coaches. You know, they would blame you for like, oh, that guy can't play dead. And I go, well, you can't teach him to eat red meat. You're like, you can't teach a lion to eat red meat. I'd tell a coach that, you know. and seriously.
Sure, they loved it when you did that.
Yeah, well, they'd get it all in my face. But that's what we are. I mean, we, you know, coaches are teachers on all levels. And I think it's going to be very important. We were talking about what's going to happen with Diggs, the corner from the Cowboys.
Yeah.
We've seen him play in some big-time games at Alabama, national championship games, playoff games, SEC championship games. Al Harris and that group, I mean, they've got to coach these kids, the kids that are here currently. You know, you got to hope that something clicks differently for these guys. And I think that coaching is huge. I do think the players, we always talk about this too, big-time players make big-time coaches. You know, that's really the way it is. But you have to be able to accept these kids. It's like, okay, I have an idea what they can do, but I need to make sure that they do the things that I saw them do on the field in college that they can do it here in the NFL.
100%. The 817, Vince Young going to the Titans with Jeff Fisher.
It's a great example.
Another example of, man, if he goes somewhere else with a smarter head coach.
Well, I mean, even a coach that actually wanted him. I don't think Jeff Fisher wanted him.
Would we be seeing the same Lamar Jackson if he didn't go to a Baltimore organization that was willing to tailor everything to his strengths?
See,
maybe not.
That's the beauty of John Harbaugh. You know, Greg Roman, who's the OC there, was kind of clunking around.
He was,
you know, after what happened with Colin Kaepernick, he kind of took some college jobs. He really wasn't. But then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, Harbaugh says, listen, I know you're with my brother, you know, out in San Francisco. We're going to take this Lamar Jackson. You think you could create something? Yeah, sure. We'll go to this package. We'll run this. How smart do you think this? Well, let's see. Let's see how smart he is. Let's see what the football intelligence is. Oh, he looks like he could pick up a lot of things. You know, that's when things really, really work out. You look really smart because the Ravens draft traditionally very, very well. They players fall into their laps. They pick in the late 20s, and all of a sudden they've got the best tight end. They've got the best wide receiver. They got the best quarterback. You know, I mean, a lot of things fall in their lap because, but they're not afraid to take that guy. You know, it's not like, and that's why I give the Cowboys some credit, Will McClay and this new staff, is that draft night, CeeDee Lamb, I was thinking, man, here, my best receiver's on the board, Jeff Kavanaugh going on and on and on. And we're in my heart, I'm like, they're not going to take this guy.
I thought the same thing, they're going to go with Chase on.
They're not going to take this guy. But you know what? They have a plan for this guy. This new staff is going to have a plan. They realize now, hey, listen, you got to score in this league. You got to attack people. You got to make plays down. By the way, we got a $38 million quarterback we need to take care of here too, you know? So, I mean, there's a lot of things that go into these decisions, but going to the right state. Dak Prescott, think about him. What if Dak Prescott goes to another team? What if he doesn't play for a team that has an established offensive line and some of the weapons and drafts a big-time running back? What if he goes to a team where it's all on his shoulders right out of the gate?
Right.
Does Dak Prescott look just like a fourth-round pick, or does he look like a guy that if we redrafted, he'd be taking overall?
I mean, does he ever even get a chance to play?
Yeah, I still have a picture of it in my phone of Kellen Moore's foot getting stepped on in that drill.
Oh.
Yeah, I have a picture of it in my phone. And I flick to it. I go, someone go, show me the funniest picture you got. I go, this is how Dak Prescott became the starter for the Dallas Cowboys. Jeez. And I'll show you guys the break, but it's a picture of him getting stepped on by the left guard, his foot.
That's how he broke his foot, yeah.
That's how he broke his foot. And we didn't know what Dak Prescott was. We saw in the OTAs and the minicamp. But that's, you know, but you have a staff that's kind of like thinking, okay, this is what we need to do for this guy. Dak has a lot of talent. Shouldn't have been drafted in the fourth round. You know, but they figured out some things for him to do.
All right, so this article here has the best and worst fits for some of these NFL rookies. We'll go through some of them here. They say from a quarterback standpoint, the best fit was the Dolphins taking Tua. And they note that mostly because Tua coming off the injury is not going to be forced to play right away. And
Fitzpatrick,
I think another thing to add on to this is Chan Gailey, and say what you want about him, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe he's back in the NFL. But from a stylistically, philosophically, what he likes to do, spreading things out, getting the ball out pretty quick, that seems to fit Tua pretty strong.
Yeah, it does. And you know what? If I'm the Dolphins, if Tua's healthy enough to go, let's start the journey now. You know, let's start the journey. You know,
just play him week one?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I know I have Ryan. You know, at this day and age, I'm really not. I understand what happened. And you talked about Rosen, you know, but I need to know. You know, I took my lumps last year, you know. Brian Flores did a hell of a job late in the year. I mean, they won some games. Early in the year, they were god-awful.
Awful.
But they kept playing. They beat Philadelphia late in the year. You know, they had some decent wins. Beat New England up in Foxborough. Sure. That cost New England a shot for home field.
And they were competitive every week.
They were competitive every week, except the early part of the season they really won.
They weren't
competitive. But to me, I start that journey. I really, and what will happen is Brian Flores will wait till week six if we can get to week six and he'll play Tua then.
I lean patience there. Like that's kind of what we were talking about earlier with our quarterbacks, especially coming off injury. Like I'm always just I err on the side of caution. I just feel like once you throw Tua out there, there's no bringing him back.
Yeah,
but you can always put him in there.
But you might have success. You might find out that. You know what? Everybody in that locker room, they know what Fitzpatrick is. Hey, we all love Fitz. Fitz is a great guy. Fitz can throw for 500 yards. Oh, by the way, we just lost.
Yeah.
You know?
He's a guy that'll get you 6 to 8 wins.
But you need to establish these quarterbacks. The same thing with the Chargers. You know?
Herbert.
Tyrod Taylor, I'm sorry. You know, I'm a coach. I'm out there in L.A., I'm going, you know what, I might get fired if we don't win enough games here. I would rather take a chance with a guy that I drafted. I think this guy can, if we flame out because he's no good, then I'll accept that. But I'm not going to sit there and develop him for somebody else.
No, and that's a team that's got a win-now roster around the quarterback.
All right, I'm looking up at the clock, and believe it or not, gentlemen, I think we might actually have time for 60 seconds on soccer. Oh, yes. Shout out to the general. I hope you're listening right
now.
Can
you make it 60 seconds?
This one's
seconds.
For you. I don't even know if I got the soccer stamina for 60, but I got a good 30 in me. Actually, maybe 15 seconds.
You're about to take a red card.
This might be 15 seconds on soccer. I just want to give a big Nosebleed Nation shout out to Inter goalie Tommaso Berni, who has played all of 0 games for Inter, but has been given 2 red cards in the year 2020. He has, my guy here has played 6 years at Inter, or he's been on the team for 6 years. He's never played a single second of a match.
Sounds like me at LSU.
And he's got 2 red cards. I feel like he's sort of the, he's the hero we sort of want and that we deserve. He must be totally loved in that locker room, a total legend, a glue guy, all the things you want. And this is an enforcer. He's your enforcer. He never touches the field. He's got 2 red cards. Tommaso, hey. You're the man. I love you.
And I'll add to this. Shout out to Lionel Messi. He scored his 700th career goal.
We have our friend who's listening to us, Prince in Saudi Arabia. That's his guy. Prince, if you're listening, 700 goals. I know you're excited
about
that.
Shout out to you, sir.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having you here in Texas with us once we start playing football.
Absolutely. 700 goals, almost as impressive as getting 2 red cards
almost.
And never playing a single
second.
No, I think
the 2 red cards is probably more impressive.
I agree.
700 goals for Messi.
Yep.
Shout out to you, my friend. All right, coming up next, it's the C-Note. Cowboys news of the day in typical G-Bag style. And I got a what's more likely question for you. 877-881-1053 on the Autoflex Leasing fan text. What's more likely? Tank gets 11 sacks this year, or the secondary combined forces 9 interceptions? We'll talk about it next on The Fan.
Time for the Cowboys C-Note here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Great to have you in as we start winding down this Thursday. For many people, it's a Friday, and if it is, shout out to you. It's well-deserved, and I hope you have a fantastic 3-day weekend. J4 on Saturday is just going to be so lit, Waltchuck. It's going to be lit tomorrow because we are still here. Lucius brought us. They'll be doing the American festivities, but we will be here, we will be grinding, and we will be looking forward to all the fun that we have in store for you tomorrow. Segment, of course, brought to you by Frankel and Frankel. If you've been injured in an accident with a work truck or an 18-wheeler, all you have to do is call 214-333-3333 or go online to frankelfirm.com, principal office, Dallas, Texas. Now, Walchuk, you got a little Cowboys hypothetical, or what would you take here? And it's 11 sacks for our guy Tank Lawrence, and it's 11 interceptions for the secondary.
Yeah, it's a what's more likely to happen for the Cowboys in 2020. Yeah. DeMarcus Lawrence versus the secondary. And Blogging the Boys actually put this up a couple of days ago, and I think it's interesting. So they brought up the question, what's more likely? DeMarcus Lawrence gets 11 sacks, or the secondary is responsible for 9 interceptions. And I do think, you know, we're relatively confident with the new addition of the defensive staff with Mike Nolan that he's going to be able to bring, and hopefully, a defensive philosophy that will breed more turnovers. But, man, this is a secondary. I mean, every single year it seems like their leading interceptor has maybe 3 interceptions. So to get 9 as a unit is going to be a tough task, and I really do believe that DeMarcus Lawrence can get back to double-digit sacks. He was limited last year, but I do think he will be aided by better play in the interior with the defensive tackle group.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
And at the opposite end spot, I think that's a spot that will figure itself out. You know, early in the year, maybe it'll be Tyron Crawford. You guys know I'm confident in Alden Smith. I think after, you know, maybe the first month of the season, and he's able to kind of get back into the timing and the feel for everything, he's going to end up being a productive player off that right defensive end spot. So with all that being said, I think it's likely DeMarcus Lawrence can get back to double-digit sacks. And my hope is that the secondary can go ahead and get close to 9 interceptions, but I think you'd be foolish to bet on that secondary, especially with how many unknowns there are right now and a lot of youth in that back end.
Yeah, dude, you're talking about a defense last year that had, what, 6 or 7 interceptions total? Now, you're finally out from under Marinelli and Richard and the very vanilla, unaggressive defense that you've had over the last decade. So that helps. I definitely don't think you can get any worse. The problem is when you look at DeMarcus Lawrence, like when you're comparing the two, DeMarcus Lawrence in his career has only eclipsed 11 sacks one time, and that was in 2017 when he had 14.5, and then in 2018 he had 10.5, so it's right there. But I don't know. That's probably, I think, because you're talking about, like, getting 11 interceptions for a defense is not that hard. It shouldn't be.
No, in fact,
be.
The Cowboys have done it in recent memory. So over the last 4 years, the Cowboys secondary has accounted for 9 interceptions, 9 interceptions, 6 interceptions, but only 5 interceptions last year.
Okay, so they should, with this new defense, I think, with the mixture of coverages, the pre-snap confusion that they're going to give the offenses and the quarterbacks, the aggression from a blitzing standpoint, I think all that lends itself to creating more turnovers, whether it's fumbles or interceptions, and I do think they will be able to get 11 interceptions. I think getting
9.
Oh, you're only asking for 9?
It's 9 interceptions as Lawrence gets 11 sacks.
Oh, then yes, I'm definitely taking the 9 interceptions.
Really?
For the defense, yeah.
I tend to think that Lawrence, and Jeff Cavanaugh, I think, does a really good job on our show of talking about pressures and how pressures could lead. That's a really good indicator if you get to the next year of how that might translate. Mm-hmm. You know, Wooly Bully, I love your thought about the defensive tackles helping. All along, I believe that that Tyron Crawford not being in the mix hurt. They couldn't run the twist games. They couldn't get the penetrator. They couldn't take the blocks up. You know, if you look at last year in Robert Quinn's 11.5 sacks, 22 pressures out of that, and then you look at Lawrence, he had 5 sacks but 16 pressures. So you're talking about 6 less, you know, 6 less pressures coming from Lawrence. But I do feel like with improved defensive tackle play, and if you get to a point too where it's Crawford or it's Gerald McCoy, that somebody that's going to have to account for that penetrator, then I think that you're going to get some free clean rushes on Lawrence's side. And so that's where I'm kind of hopeful that those 16 pressures that we saw will mean, okay, maybe out of the, you know, you had the 5 sacks, 16 pressures, maybe another 3 or 4 of those are sacks. You know, maybe you get more pressures, and maybe that leads to more sacks like what we saw with Robert Quinn.
I will definitely say that DeMarcus Lawrence is getting more sacks in 2020 than he had in 2019. There's no question. But
not 11?
Not to say that it's out of the question, but comparing, like, more likely to me is 9 interceptions for the defense. But
why?
Well, just because getting 9 interceptions shouldn't be that difficult, and it's a collaborative effort. Asking one guy who is the clear, like, what I wanted to ask Broadus is, on the defensive front, who are you double-teaming? If you're an offensive line and you're saying, okay, is there anybody you're double-teaming outside of DeMarcus Lawrence?
But that's the issue that I'm talking about, because what you could do is, if people are going to try and double-team you, what you want to do is then you want to run games on them. If you have somebody that could be a penetrator, and that's where Crawford with the power, I thought McCoy played a half step slow last year, watching him on tape.
And that's why he lost so much weight this offseason. He feels the same way.
I think he feels like that he lost that first step quickness. If you could get him attacking to where he makes blockers have to account for him, that's the thing is, double team blockers, especially if it's an inside penetrator and they come together, that shortens the corner for the edge guy, you know, because if they could kick outside and play everything wide, that keeps the defensive end wide. But if you have a penetrator inside, that makes the corner shorter because those two guys are having to play tighter to keep the penetrator. See, that's the problem in the league. If you get a penetrator inside, that affects quarterback play. Quarterbacks could step up and avoid outside pressure. It's the inside pressure that causes eye level to come down, and then it affects them, the timing with them throwing the football, because they have no place to step up.
It was the Brady kryptonite against the Giants in those Super Bowls.
And that's why I disagree immensely with RJ, who feels that the defensive tackle spot is just one of those where it's not a valuable position. If you find an interior disruptor like a Fletcher Cox, like a Chris Jones, like an Aaron Donald, they're just rare breeds to where if you get one of those guys, that's a player that I'm making sure I keep on my football team.
There is, if you go back and look at the great defenses throughout history, they've always had really outstanding tackle play. You know, go back to the Cowboys. You look at Randy White, what he did for Harvey Martin and Ed Jones and those guys. I mean, it's incredible the type of penetration. But I'm talking about even Tampa Bay with the Warren Sapp, Booger McFarland.
Yeah.
You know, if you have really good inside play, that helps Simeon Rice rush off the edge in Tampa. So, yeah, to me, you know, these really good pass rushing teams, look what happens to them inside. With Kansas City with Jones. You know, look how they're able to affect things from that point of attacking the pocket.
Okay, this is also something, as we have the C-note here, Cowboys news of the day on the Nosebleed Nation. This is crazy to me, boys. So PFF, Pro Football Focus, recently made a list.
That's what Jeff does.
Yeah. They recently ranked the top safety duos in the National Football League.
Okay.
And so who they gave for the Cowboys, the duo is HaHa Clinton Dix and Xavier Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you think, if you had to guess, they would fall out of the 32 safety duos in the league?
Bottom third.
Bottom third, okay.
I would think they'd be somewhere in the neighborhood of like 18 to 24.
Okay.
I was going to go 22.
All right, so you're both going low. Yeah. Not a high.
Not high.
Not a high
low,
rank.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, went ahead and gave them the number 5 overall, the 5th best safety duo.
What?
In the NFL. Yeah, exactly. So here's the write-up.
Listen, I'm happy about this.
Because they're really high. They're very high on Clinton Dix.
They're high on the coverage ability of these guys is what it is. So they write, both Clinton Dix and Woods have earned top 20 coverage grades.
There you go.
Over the last 2 seasons, combining for a total of 34 turnovers during their brief NFL careers. Both safeties have proven to be more than efficient when featured in man coverage. Over the last 2 years, HaHa has the 2nd best man coverage grade among the 31 qualifying safeties over that period, while Woods ranks 17th. Together, They've allowed only 19 interceptions from 31 targets in man coverage. 19 receptions, excuse me, giving up only 151 yards and a touchdown while coming away with 6 combined interceptions. Clinton Dix's recent production has been somewhat overshadowed by his frequent moves and the lack of a long-term contract. But with a second-ranked man coverage grade, while aligned in the box, and 10th-ranked run defensive grade, which I think is shocking, when aligned as a slot defender, Clinton Dix has proved to be as versatile as any safety in the game. Now, I do like I think, more than some others. I know Jared, who's watched him, you know, week in and week out when he was with the Packers. I've talked to Sandler about it. He is not a fan of Clinton Dix. Now, he does take some really poor angles at times in run support, and that's where we have a question mark about But they seem to like the combo of Clinton Dix and Xavier Woods, at least from a coverage perspective.
If you go back to his numbers with the Bears last year, they're identical with what you got from Xavier Woods in this regard. 2 interceptions, 5 passes defensed, 2 forced fumbles. Both players have that. So you're talking 4-10-4 for that group.
Okay.
I think that to me that I would like to see Xavier Woods, and this is what they told me about Xavier Woods, that he tried to do too much last year.
And you could tell
that he tried that he tried to do things instead of play scheme specific. He tried to do too much, and he got caught out of position several times, and it affected the way he played. But if you told me that he could get 4 interceptions, you know, it could forcing fumbles is you know, something you should be able to do if you tackle well. You know, we talked about with the Bears back in the day with Rod Marinelli. Peanut Tillman, how those guys, those guys all had that ability to knock the ball loose and stuff like that. I would like to see him create more opportunities with the forced fumbles and stuff when he tackles, not just fly up there and bounce off a guy.
He'll throw a shoulder in you. He does not wrap up.
He will. He'll just kind of bounce off you, you know, but if he finds a way to get 4 interceptions playing the way he does, I think that would be a tremendous year for him.
I'm with you.
I got a question for you on these safeties, Broadus, but I do want to note, you just sort of made me think of something. Going back to that, what's more likely, the 11 sacks, mm-hmm. DeMarcus Lawrence, or the 9 interceptions? I do think, like you mentioned, Rod Marinelli and his Chicago defenses, and how I guess at those point they were really coaching, forcing turnovers on a daily basis. And they seem like they're doing that now. Under Garrett, they didn't. It's going to become
No. You can't go there.
Okay.
You can't go there. I watch practice every single day.
Sure.
Okay. They worked on drills of creating turnovers. There were drills. There were punch drills. There were recovery drills. There were strip drills. They worked on turnovers. That's what you. There's a lot of things you could say about Rashard and Rod Marinelli and the lack of, but coaching or at least planting the seed of, hey, this is when you get in position, gang tackle, punch, rip, strip, you know, those kinds of things. Those are things that they worked on every single day. And it wasn't like take a day off. When the media went away, I still had the ability to kind of see some things that were going on. They worked on turnovers, creating turnovers every single day. So that's something that you can't say.
Okay.
Now, the ability to make it, to execute that, that's a whole other story. If you mm-hmm. want to bust on them for not doing that, that's fine. But the coaches did preach or did work on creating turnovers. The players fail to execute creating turnovers.
Okay, well then the players deserve the blame there.
They do deserve the
blame. Coaches are coaching it up.
They're coaching it, but right. Do you have the players that have the football intelligence to do that? Like, you know, you see these strip sacks and stuff like that. That's coaching. That's like, okay, you see the ball exposed in the pocket, you hammer the arm, you hammer the wrist, you try and drive the ball out of there. You know, those are things you see from technique. You know, that's stuff that they work on. And so I don't know why. Even though, I mean, they did such a great job in the preseason of creating turnovers. And I'm thinking, okay, it's starting to catch here. But then when they needed the turnovers, they just couldn't get them.
So in regards to the safeties, I'm curious, do we have two free safeties? Are they interchangeable? Will they both be playing down and in the box at times?
I don't know.
Who covers the tight end? Yeah. Like when you're playing filthy and they got Ertz.
Yeah.
Is Ha-Ha Clinton Dix?
That's probably
his guy.
I think it's probably Ha-Ha. Yeah, that's just my gut
that's
feeling.
That's probably going to be it. Or you know what? What are you going to do with Jordan Lewis? You know what do you mean? They might figure out things that they have to do, but. Yeah, we always talk about interchangeable. I don't know what Mike Nolan's going to do with these. I know for a fact that last year they wanted to keep Woods deep, Heath down, you know. But now I don't know what Mike Nolan wants to do. We might see. I think that both these guys, you kind of feel like you need to play them back.
Right.
You know, because the physicality of it playing down. We talked about if you had Jamal Adams, you could play a lot more single high. You just put Woods straight in the back and you use Adams as a linebacker, basically. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they scheme these guys.
Yeah, I just feel like they're going to be pretty interchangeable because their skill sets are similar.
I hope they don't give up physicality at the line. That's what I worry about there. The physicality with the, you know, and when I mean physicality, do you have a guy at the point of attack that's going to play with some toughness?
Yeah, that's a,
specifically in regards to the safeties or in regards to the front seven.
The safety. Okay.
And that is a question.
Yeah,
and that's a fair question to worry about because I think coverage they're going to improve. But you're right in terms of the physicality and the run support.
Yeah,
that might be lacking now, a little bit.
And for the record, this day and age of football, I would rather have two free safety style players than two strong
safeties.
Said
that.
Like coverage matters way
Absolutely.
More.
I'd love to have one guy that could really tackle. That's what I need.
No,
I,
for sure. And I this need. Defense, God. That Bears game last year?
Just some tackles.
Ugly.
Yeah.
Just ugly. All right, coming up next, let's mix with Jared Sandler and Sterling. Some Dan and Sand. What do they have coming up? We'll do it next on The Fan. Oh, fantastic job tonight, as always, Lucius. And I hope that you and Broadus get ready for a nice three-day weekend. It is myself, Eric Schiaffalo, along... Well, I'm not Eric Schiaffalo. I'm Zach Wolchok.
You can
but
be
I'm
me.
Alongside Eric Schiaffalo. Sometimes I feel like I am you. We're joined now by Sterling Daniels and Jared Sandler. Yes, only one of you in studio. Sterling, you're here with us.
Yes, sir.
Jared is at Casa de la Sandler.
Looking like hell. Did you just wake up, Jared?
How do you see me?
We can see you.
Yeah, we can see you, man. You're on the fan cam right now.
No, I definitely did not just wake up.
Did you make the Rubens? Did you get the Rubens?
I did. I made a Ruben. Ooh. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I don't know that it's like New York deli quality, but I would put my Reuben up against anyone else's attempt in my household.
What about Mark's Reuben?
Well, did you say in your household? I thought you were going to say against one of us.
No, Broadus, I would imagine that you could try a recipe for the first time and probably kick my ass, even if I had done it like for the last.
I'm gonna home make the Russian dressing to put on.
Oh, the Russian dressing is really what sets it off.
Yeah. So I did not go homemade Russian dressing, but did make sure to kind of put my own little spin on the recipe. It was really good. I love a good Reuben. I think sometimes
I do too.
Yeah, I think sometimes you can put too much cheese on it. As odd as that might sound,
no such thing. Jared.
No,
too
it,
much
it
cheese.
Can, it can, dude. Because the corned beef, the corned beef's the MVP here.
Yeah,
and you know it's like Dirk with the 2011 Mavs. All right, Dirk's your MVP. All right, you don't need Jason Terry chucking up like 25 shots a game unless he's hot. And so if you go to a restaurant where the sauerkraut's just money, you want to put a little more sauerkraut on. That's fine. If Tyson Chandler's going to keep tipping out offensive rebounds to keep possessions alive and he represents the Swiss cheese and he's having a great game, you want to go an extra slice of Swiss cheese, do it. But don't forget that the MVP is the corned beef. And you don't want to really get in the way of that. And sometimes you put a little too much cheese on and the cheese isn't having a great game and you get in the way of Dirk. And why would anyone want to do that?
No one wants you in the way of Dirk.
Yeah, but don't mess with that bread, by the way. If you jack up the bread,
you've got to use a good Jewish rye.
You got to. Yeah. And if you mess that up, you're going to have a sandwich that does. You will be pulling the inside of the sandwich out because the bread's jacked.
That's a fair point.
No question. The Jewish rye is very, very important. Yeah. Now, Sterling, you're from the Jersey area where you were born and raised.
Yes.
So I imagine you've probably gotten some delicious Reubens in your time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, just that's one of the things I miss the most about there is just the delis in general. Yeah. You can just go to any corner and whatever you're in the mood for, like a Reuben or a Monte Cristo. Go ahead and get your BLT or just like Italian. Like there's so many things you can do, and there's always on point no matter what time of day. I'm kind of salty. I didn't get a chance to like be able to be up there when I'm more of a, you know, degenerate drunk as a person going out and partying. Yeah. Because as I've gone back up and visited, it is the perfect late night munchy food. Meal. Oh my goodness.
Are you the Italian beef? Do you like the Italian beef?
I do like the Italian beef.
Do you like with the peppers, with or without?
Yeah, peppers on it, no cheese on it, and then just, the dressing on it, and there, it's really good. I will say though, I'll take an Italian beef from Chicago over an Italian beef from New York.
Oh okay. Wow,
yeah,
interesting.
How about a cheesesteak?
Oh, Philly. That's the only thing I'm going to say. Good. I'm a Pat's guy.
Yeah, right across the street from each other. It's really strange.
Yeah, Pat's and Geno's, they sit on opposite corners.
Opposite corners, yeah.
And now that I
get... Oh, that's a slugfest,
It is a slugfest. Really
cool. And they both do their thing where they're like trying to build up how their reputation is. They have the pictures on the wall of all the famous people who come in and all the reviews and the medals and the plaques. And you got
the bonafides, man.
It's really cool. But now that I don't live there anymore, if I go, I'm just going to go on an empty stomach and I'm going to hit both. If I have to pick one, I'm going Pats.
469, yes, the Deli News on Preston and Campbell. Deli News is great. Cindy's, big fan of Cindy's.
Hey, that's where the ingredients came from.
Oh, good call, Jared. Good stuff there. Okay, I do have this, fellas, and one thing I've kind of been saving for this crosstalk. So, you know, Eric, you and I have talked about this. Russell Wilson has this offseason spoken about he'd be very open to Antonio Brown with the Seahawks. Now, the Ravens were another team that was reportedly having internal conversations, as were Seattle. We know Brady wants him in Tampa Bay. The Ravens have since apparently said, we're not as interested. But today, NFL Network's Michael Silver reported, and Antonio Brown via Instagram shared a video of him and Russell Wilson working out together. I guess Russell Wilson has an NFL field in his backyard that he's made, and they have just been running routes together. And I think AB, a perfect spot for him would be Seattle. And when you think about that trio of receivers that they would have with him, DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, you finally now have a great receiving trio around Russell Wilson, who I think it's him and Pat Mahomes. They're the elite in the NFL. And then we can start talking about the next group of quarterbacks. But who's with me? AB to Seattle. Anyone?
Yeah, I'll say this from my experience of knowing John Snyder. John has always told me that, you know what, he goes, the players that have the most trouble bother me. But he goes, the one thing that Pete Carroll has taught me is that if I bring the players in, he'll coach them and he'll keep them online. He goes, you know, and the Seahawks have taken some questionable character guys over the years. And John's like, man, it drives me nuts. But he goes, but Pete's right. He's convinced me that he can coach these guys, that he's got a rapport with them, that he can control the locker room. I think it would be a great fit. I really do. This is a guy that's a bad ball catcher. He played in nasty weather in his career. He understands how to, you know, the moment is not too big for him. He's got an accurate quarterback. You know, Russ will get him the ball on the move. You know, he could work underneath. I just think there's too many positive things. And if I've got a head coach that has convinced me that he can make this work, by all means, let's give it a look. I think it would be a great fit for Seattle.
And you also have to look into the fact that at this point, it takes away all of Seattle's excuses to kind of run that older style offense where they're making Russell Wilson bail them out on third down every time.
You're absolutely
no
right.
One loves to punt and kick field goals more than Pete Carroll and Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah, that's what they want
to
do.
It's really all Brian Schottenheimer.
And at that point, if you have that much weaponry in your arsenal, like, you've got to use it. And
well,
when AB left the game, I was a strong believer that he was the best receiver in the game.
That's because he definitely was.
And he definitely was. Yeah. And one thing we always loved about him before he kind of lost his ways is he's one of the hardest workers in the game as well. So you put a guy like that in Seattle, he's going to be able to fit in with the culture. Like Brad has said, Pete Carroll's a player's coach. He'll be able to figure out a way for him to work with him. So I'm really excited for that potential, but it's got to come together first before I get to it, because we keep hearing AB popping up with different teams. So I want to see something concrete before.
I got him number four all time, by the way, gentlemen.
Fourth best receiver of all time?
Brown's number four all time. And I don't think there's much argument otherwise. After Rice, Moss, and T.O., AB.
I think there certainly could be an argument to be had.
Where do you have Allen Hurns?
It's a close five. That's why okay. I said AB four.
Got to watch his mom. She listens to a lot of shows.
And is it, would Sam Hurd have been in the top five if he didn't kind of lose his way, or is he not trending that way?
He would be a top five 100? Off the field.
Lance Lenoir?
Yeah, life after football kind of got the best of me, guy.
I was always a Laurent Robinson guy.
Hey, Zach,
amazing
can I ask you a question,
season, by the
such
way.
A good season.
Got paid.
Yeah, what's up, Jared? What do you got? You're always you very cynical with my comments. So
No. You made a comment that I'm curious. I want to toss this around to the group.
Let's do it.
You said that it's Mahomes and Wilson and everyone else.
Yeah, I think Mahomes and Wilson are the only two elite quarterbacks in the NFL right now, in my opinion.
Interesting. So I think Mahomes is number one, right? I think we all agree on that.
Yes.
And I think that there is a clear space between Mahomes and whoever you put next. And I think I would put Russell number two, but I think it's, for me, I would characterize it as Mahomes and then a group of Russell, Lamar Jackson.
And
maybe if you want to throw someone else in there, and Russell's the top of them. Yeah, if you want to say Deshaun, and Russell's the top of them, but I don't know that there's like a distinct gap between Russell and Lamar Jackson or whoever you want to put there. Maybe I'm unique in thinking that. I guess I was curious what everyone else thought.
For me, it's Pat 1, Russ 2, and I don't think that there's a massive gap between the two, personally. I think both have proven that they're winners. And that they can come from behind, no matter who's on the field with them, they'll find a way to create and make plays. I just need one more year from Lamar, and then Lamar can be elevated to that status. I think you've got some guys that are knocking on the door. Deshaun Watson's special, Lamar's special, Dak has an opportunity this year to get up to that conversation as well. You have some guys that, and certainly it's not to knock off the older guys that were the elites, the Rodgers, the Brees, the Bradys, they're just not there anymore. They've declined in their careers. So that's why I think there's a drop-off. Then you have your next group, wherever you want to have that conversation with the Lamars, the Watsons. Lamar's close. Yeah. I just want to see one more year because we're really bad. I mean, Lamar had one of the best seasons of all time last year. But I just want to see it one more year, give it an offseason with defensive coordinators to be able to kind of properly groom for him.
I guess to better communicate or convey, I think Russell is two and Mahomes is one, but I think Russell is closer to three than he is to one, if that makes sense.
Okay. See, I would say that he's pretty close to one.
I'm looking forward to seeing how Watson plays without the wide receiver.
Without Hopkins.
Hopkins can make you look tremendous as a quarterback.
Yeah. But they also bail, like, he's had to bail that team out a lot.
Yes,
and that's
one
of the reasons why for me, I put him in that conversation for a 3-4 just because of the improvisational skills that Deshaun Watson has.
All right, fellas, what you got coming up on the show tonight?
Well, Sterling, I'll let you take it away.
No, you sure?
Because I'm taking a bite of my corned beef sandwich.
No. I thought Sterling, I didn't want to jump on it. We're going to do. So, interesting discussion at 7:20, I think, with the Rangers season. What is more important to you? Is it going for a playoff spot or considering what's important for the future? Because I think the Rangers are going to have some tough decisions to make. And I'm curious, like, what fans would prefer, because obviously the playoff probability is much greater with a 60-game season. We're going to continue our play-by-play bracket at 7:40. We are in the Sweet 16, gentlemen, and tonight we will punch two tickets to the Elite Eight. We're going to do Just Bang, and I'm excited to see Sterling with his shirt off. It's going to be a great time.
Oh, yes. It's so good, man.
And we're going to keep some of the nosebleed staples around, all right? We're not going to totally pull the rug out from under you guys. We respect what you do, and we're going to keep a lot of that stuff going.
Oh, we love it, dude. We're so hyped about this. We can't wait for it. And guys, I want to give you some numbers because people are hitting me on the Autoflex Leasing fan text right now about my AB take. He's number four all-time of wide receiver. I'm going to give you numbers from 2013 to 2018 and just – this is insane.
Really?
You got 5 hours tomorrow.
1,500 yards. Right now. 1,500, eight scores, 1,700, 13 touchdowns, 1,800. Let's see where the touchdowns go.
Thank
10.
You so much.
Love
Josh,
you guys.
1,300, 12 touchdowns, 1,500, nine touchdowns,
1,315
touchdowns. Insane.
I don't know what's going on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.